pull up in that rooster till we wake up, put up. Got all these turtles. As long as I work out, I'm doing cool. Just Bobby Banders in the building. Pop that, throw up, put up. In the one time for one like me, that's why I like this. Welcome to the Angry Coach Show. Another edition after a long week of sports and lots to talk about today. I want to begin with an issue that cropped up over the weekend, I guess, early in the weekend of the long Memorial Day. And I hope everybody had a great Memorial Day weekend. And I hope you enjoyed it with family and friends and had good cookouts and everything like that. But at some point, I hope you did pause to remember what the holiday is about and remember those who served, even the ones in your family that served way back when, and that's that sort of thing. But over the weekend, late last week, the story surfaced about the Rutgers athletic director, Julie Herman, the incoming Rutgers athletic director, Julie Herman, who's set to take over in the middle of June. Of course, just recapping the long, drawn-out drama story, if you were under a rock and didn't hear, of course, Rutgers came under big-time scrutiny with the the story of Mike Rice, the men's basketball coach, as videotape was released to ESPN outside the lines late in the basketball season there, about earlier in the spring, about Rice verbally and physically abusing players, setting off a bunch of F-bombs and throwing the ball at people and at their legs and pushing players and everything like that. And of course, he was fired, and then that led to the athletic director also being fired. They hired this Julie Herman chick to come in and clean things up. She had been at Louisville, I believe it was Louisville, where she was an associate AD of some sort. Apparently, Julie Herman had a history. She was a volleyball coach back in the day at Tennessee. And a story came out over the weekend saying that she resigned from Tennessee in major part, to a letter written by her players about mental abuse, among other things, from Julie Herman. She called them whores. She called them fat, among other things. And just, I mean, the story is really deep. Go on and check out the well-written story on ESPN.com about it. Very well-written. And actually, there's a better one on my Facebook page. I'll put that on our Facebook page. And by the way, check out, you can link to our Angry Coach Show on Facebook page. Just type in Angry Coach Show and our Facebook page will pop up. I'll actually put that on there. I don't remember offhand. I am mobile right now, but I believe it was CBS Sportsline that wrote the story, the updated story, that went a lot deeper into the allegations against Julie Herman. And she just really, number one, makes me sick. She needs to be fired. There's no excuse. You know, she's going to try to come in and play hardball and try to, quote-unquote, clean up the department. Yet, she's got this specter hanging over her head that she was no better than what they had. She was no better than what Mike Rice was doing. And so, as a coach that I am, someone who had coached 11 years of women's basketball at the collegiate level, like I have, there is no excuse at all for the mental abuse, and that's, or the physical abuse, I mean, of Mike Rice, mind you, but especially by going even back to just the mental abuse aspect of, you know, there's no reason to call them whores and to call them fat and that sort of thing. There's just absolutely no excuse for it, and so obviously she needs to be fired, and I don't know what the heck's going on at Rutgers. So then, I'm already set off about, you know, this was kind of the down point of the weekend for me, you know, reading this sort of thing, you know, at Rutgers and reading that this happened. But then a story comes across the wire thanks to NBC5's Nui Scruggs for tweeting it out, because a lot of people didn't see this. And I got to give props to Nui for actually tweeting it out, and I retweeted him, and then
actually posted it on my Facebook page as well, my personal Facebook page. I will definitely link that up when I can on our Angry Coach Facebook as well for everybody to read. But a story by Paige Smith, a story about Paige Smith, who was the Seton Hall, or is the Seton Hall, softball coach. And it comes that she basically held in contempt her seniors for missing practice, missing competition due to an academic event that they have to do on Seton Hall's campus. And also, she held it against another senior player that her husband, the senior, was married. Senior player, got married, was a kind of a newlywed, that sort of thing, but married to a military guy, and who has done, tours of duty, that sort of thing. And then he goes off and gets scheduled to, be deployed to go serve again abroad. And the player wanted to go see her husband off from, the last time she's going to be able to see him for a year or however long. Wanted to go see her husband off, and the coach basically told her no, that she's letting the team down because she's going to miss practice that day, and wouldn't allow her to go see her husband who's leaving in the military. I mean, this sort of thing is ridiculous. And I kind of went off on a rant on my own personal Facebook page last night about who are these coaches exactly, and who are these ADs that are hiring these coaches. This sort of issue just makes me sick. As someone who has experience at the Division One, NCAA Division One level, NCAA Division Two level, and the junior college level, like I have, it's just this thing just makes me sick. This whole kind of win at all costs mentality, where all you're judged by is between the lines, and whatever you can run roughshod and do whatever the hell you want. As long as you win between the lines, it's free game, basically. And this just kind of slaps people like me in the face that, number one, winning is not the issue. When I have been, let me just set the record straight. When I've been given the resources, meaning scholarship money and time to build programs, I've produced winners. I've won in that regard. My last stop was at a school that had no resources, no time, and no support, and we still got better. I had the lowest scholarship funding in the conference, more than half less of, than what my opponents did. Certainly not playing on a fair plane at all, and my program still improved year to year and got better in each of the three seasons that I was there. So make no mistake, this is what I'm about to say is not about winning, but I mean, I've shown that I can win, and I will take to task any athletic director, anybody that wants to prospectively hire me and say that I'm not a winner and say that I can't win. You show me that the time and resources, give me that scholarship money, and I'll give you a winner. But I'm not going to do it like these fools. I'm not going to do it where I disrespect my athletes and disrespect the sport and that sort of thing. It's just sickening to me that coaches are allowed to take shortcuts and basically just not, we sort of, as coaches, preach doing things the right way, or at least I always have to my players, doing things the right way and taking pride in the way you do things, and that there are no shortcuts. Yet these athletic directors, these people in power, want to and continue to hire coaches that constantly take the shortcuts because all they do is win, which, by the way, Paige Smith did not win. She had basically the same exact record as her predecessor, which they forced out, and he had a long legacy. I mean, he had been a very long tenured coach there at Seton Hall, and was a legendary coach, from what I understand, at Seton Hall, that had ran on some down years and was forced to retire by this AD, who, by the way, is not allowing Paige Smith to come out and talk and defend herself against the scrutiny, instead issuing a departmental statement. First of all, I don't want to hear from you, because you're an idiot. Apparently, I mean, I already know you're an idiot. And then, I won't be getting any jobs at Seton Hall soon, I can tell you that. But I can tell that that this AD's an idiot, and this whole thing, the way he's handling it, proves my point. But also, number two is, you know, not allowing Paige Smith to come out and defend herself and that sort of thing is just not allowing the public to hear from her just really, really upsets me. And it's something that we all deserve to hear from her, because, you know, the allegations against her are ridiculous as well, in terms of their... It's stacked against her, is what I'm trying to say. It's stacked against her, and it doesn't look good. And if what she allegedly did is true, she should be fired as well. So, what is this world coming to? What is this sports profession, my profession, college sports in particular, coming to? And if you're a parent of a son or daughter going to college, I would very much do your due diligence in terms of who exactly you're sending your son or daughter to play for. This coming firsthand, as someone who has spent many, many years recruiting and been in a lot of living rooms and a lot of phone calls with parents about recruiting, and I've been on the women's side recruiting their daughters. So do your homework as to, you know, what kind of coach they are and how they're going to treat their players, and are they someone that can be looked up to for their actions. And I'm proud to say that I never did break any NCAA rules, and I handled myself professionally and did things the right way. We won pretty much everywhere we've been, except for the last, like I said, the last several years in a place where they'd never won and nobody's won. But, in fact, my team got better every year, which has never happened at that school. So I feel like I was, you know, on a lesser level, some sort of success. But I never did anything like these fools. And it just makes me sick. And I wanted to lead off the Angry Coach show today with my opinions on these two issues. And definitely we'll be following up. And if warranted, we will talk more about it as well. Turn our attention to the NBA playoffs, because they have been fantastic all the way through. And I mean, everybody knows that I'm really big on the NBA playoffs. I think it's the best basketball around. I think that the March Madness college basketball is kind of like your appetizer, and then you get to the NBA playoffs, it's your main course, because of the just the whole argument of they don't play hard and they play for money and all that sort of thing goes out the window when it comes to the playoffs. They want to win and win at the highest level, and it's all about the chip. It's all about the ring. And you're seeing that. And ever since we last spoke last week on the Angry Coach show, there's been a lot of stuff, you know, happen in the NBA playoffs in terms of the Heat lost a game and everybody kind of overreacted to the Pacers. Should have lost two, really. I mean, LeBron made a layup in game one to fend off the Pacers and give the Heat a one-point win in game one. Everybody thought the Pacers should have stole that one. Pacers come out and win game two in Miami and steal it, and everybody overreacts and says, oh, the Pacers are going to be, you know, this series is going to be a lot closer than what it what it seems to be. And then all of a sudden, the Heat just come out in game three and blow them out in Indiana. Just blow them out of the water and just kind of flex their muscles. And is what you saw in game three. They just totally flexed their muscles and showed, hey, they are the defending world champions and the team to beat. I'm really interested to see tonight's game four. This will be published. Our show here will be published on the podcast after game four is taken place by tonight. But so we'll obviously, as you hear this, game four will have been played, and we're either talking about a tied series or a 3-1 Heat lead. But I'm really interested to see exactly how the Heat come out and how the Pacers respond as well for the other game in Indiana. But I think I hope the Heat just can really kind of turn it on and get things done and not drag this thing out. Don't get me wrong, the Pacers are really good, especially defensively. They're one of the best teams in the league, second, I believe, in the league defensively in points per average. But And a lot of people would give them the nod saying they're the best team in the league defensively overall. And, you know, so don't, I'm not disrespecting the Pacers, but offensively they are challenged. They were 23rd in points score, points scored per game. And so they're offensively challenged. And as good as their defense is, their offense is that poor. And I just don't think they have enough to beat the star-studded Heat, which, let's face it, I mean, the Heat have only lost 4 games in the last 2 or 3 months. We're talking a huge body of work here. Pretty incredible. And with what happened in the Western Conference Finals, I would like to see the Heat take care of the Pacers and get this thing over quickly, simply because we're headed for a fantastic NBA Finals with the San Antonio Spurs sweeping the Memphis Grizzlies in the Western Conference Finals. And I'll just be flat out honest, I was dead wrong. I love the tweet of the night was Mark Stein, ESPN's Mark Stein, who's a great follow on Twitter. You know, he's a big time insider, probably the, you know, one of the best in terms of knowledge, inside knowledge of the game. Stein tweeted after the Spurs finished the sweep of the Grizzlies, "Time to revisit that Grizz in 6 pick." And I totally agree with that. Now, I sat the fence on this one. I didn't go out on the limb and predict who would win that series. It was too close to call for me. The Spurs and Grizzlies. I thought that San Antonio was probably the better team and the better, you know, certainly the more veteran team. But the Grizzlies, with the way they had played defense and what they had done in the previous series, just kind of showed me some things that, hey, they could hang in. And the series was a lot closer than a 4-0 sweep. I mean, 2 of the games went to overtime. And could have, you know, when you're in overtime, could have gone either way. But the Spurs ended up winning it as the veteran squad that they are, an experienced squad that they are. That showed, especially with Tim Duncan taking over those overtimes, and he's kind of had a rebirth. But, you know, the Spurs pulled it out and then ended up, you know, winning the series in relatively close fashion, you know, in all of the games. The Spurs were the better team, what I thought was correct. The Spurs were definitely the better team, but the series was a lot closer than just what you'd look at it on the surface of a 4-0 sweep, is what I'm saying. And it's unfortunate the series didn't get drug out a little longer, just for the basketball entertainment aspect. But, you know, the Spurs are going to be a tough out. They're playing really well. Tony Parker's playing at such a high level right now. He's definitely worth watching. Like I said, Tim Duncan's kind of had his rebirth. If Ginobili can get his head out of his rear end and play ball like he's capable of, they're going to be a really, really super tough out. Ginobili's really struggled these playoffs. He did make, you know, a couple of huge shots here and there throughout the whole course of the playoffs, but all in all, he has struggled, and so. But who needs him with the way Parker and Duncan have played, but they will need him against the Heat. And if it does come down to Heat and Spurs, and everybody, you know, wants to talk about their conspiracy theory, saying the NBA is rigged and that sort of thing, it's not rigged. It's just the best teams, and I want to see it. I want to see Heat Spurs in the final, and I just think that would be a knockdown, drag out, long 6 or 7 game series. As good as the Heat are, and you know, you've got the kind of the star-studded Heat who have not lost very much at all against the grizzled veteran, experienced Spurs squad who, you know, has probably the best coach in the game in Greg Popovich. You know, I just think it's going to be fantastic stuff, and we'll talk about more about it as we go forward next time. After we see what kind of happens tonight as in Game 4 on the Eastern Conference side, as well as moving forward this week as with Game 5 and that sort of thing, if the Heat can go ahead and finish it off. I don't want to put the cart before the horse, because if the Pacers win tonight, you're talking about a tied series, and, you know, you got to give them their due. So, but I will be on record saying I am rooting now for a Heat-Spurs final, because it's just going to be fantastic drama. And that could be one of this classic series where the EA Sports needs to come out and make a video game about it. Dating back, back to the way they used to do with the Lakers versus Celtics and all that, and Bulls versus Lakers and those great games. You video gamers will know from back in the day, will know what I'm talking about there. So, hope you're checking out the NBA Finals as we progress through the Eastern Conference Finals into the Finals, and we will definitely give it its due and talk more about it as well. And I'm going to pause for right now. We will come back and talk about the Texas Rangers and what happened on their road trip Look in that rearview mirror. You see that green and gold team coming, and oh, what's that way back there? That is the LA Angels in red and white. All of a sudden, there's teams showing up in the rearview mirror. Rangers not as strong as what the local media once thought. We'll talk about it shortly. We'll be back.